While he's making his way up here, I know Randy, I don't know what, 30, 40 years?
40.
God, we're old. We're really old. I met him just before God formed Adam and breathed life into him. And he hasn't changed in the last 4 decades. He's one of the nicest, sweetest guys I have ever met in my entire life.
Amen.
Of course, I've only met two. That was funnier in my head. What's the matter with you? Oh, I'll be quiet. Randy came up here for Chaim Urbach's memorial. And it was almost like old home week. I had seen guys I haven't seen in decades, and it was, Chaim brought a bunch of old friends together. And I saw Randy. I asked him to share here, so you're going to be blessed today. Father, in Yeshua's name, I thank you for my brother.
Yes, Lord.
I thank you for the friendship we've had over these many years.
Yes, Lord.
For the anointing of your presence in his life and for his steadfastness in the calling that you have bestowed upon him. May the joy of your presence come forth through his words, Lord God. And when he opens his mouth, may you fill it, that you might speak into our lives this day and open our ears that we might hear all that you have to say to us. In Yeshua's precious and holy name.
Yeshua. Amen. Thank you. Thank you all. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
All right. We used to say growing up, my brother Ron is here, grew up on the west side. So we used to say good Shabbos, right? Good Shabbos. So a good Shabbat Shalom to you all. We come, my wife and I, come from, I think it's over 35 years, isn't it? We've been in Texas, in the big, the big Republic of Texas, I think they are. And we live in the San Antonio area. But thankfully, we get to come home quite regularly by God's grace. And so I know when I was called to move there, I saw Mike Cherocek up here. My goodness, decades ago at Colorado Springs, we were helping. Things were happening down at Roe Israel, just launching. And not long after that, we were in Colorado Springs with a group called Shaharit Yisrael, founding leaders there with Ira Brower and others, and Eliezer Urbach would come down and give us a shot in the arm. And he would tell it like it is, right? You know, Eliezer, that's Chaim's papa. And what a wonderful time we had. But God called me to San Antonio, Texas. Can anything good come out of Texas? That was the question. And there are some good things. There was no Messianic synagogue there when in the mid-80s when we'd moved. And God allowed us to be a founding elder and plant a Messianic synagogue there called Beit Simcha. You know what that is? Simcha is joy, right? Joy of the Lord is your strength. King David said in his presence, Psalm 16, is fullness of joy, at his right hand pleasures forevermore. So we found in that little house of joy, no presence of God, no joy. Nehemiah 8, verses about 10, the joy of the Lord is our strength, no joy, no strength. And so God gave us great strength. And even though we're a little tiny group, you know, started in a home, Erev Shabbat, right, you know, I still miss Erev Shabbat. I wanted to be here last night, but we couldn't be. So anyway, we're so glad God decided to do a work in San Antonio. Yes, there are Jewish people in San Antonio, Brother David. And actually, a lot of Sephardim people from south of the border, originally possibly of Spanish descent all the way back 400 plus years ago. But we came across Ashkenaz, Sephard. We had a little house of joy. And you know, I really admire this congregation. I admire the sustained leadership through the decades. my goodness, it's like 40 years, right? I think 40 years or so. Bert's been, yeah, which is amazing. I heard from some of my Baptist friends that Protestant pastors maybe stay about two and a half to three and a half is the average. And so I just can't imagine. It's amazing when you come to a group like Rowway Israel, all you leaders, people, including leadership up in the technical department there on the sound booth and whatnot, and musicians like Craig and Brother Chirocek, other elders. Ladies, sacrificing time, sacrificing talent, sacrificing tithe. And I have a personal word for you before we open the Bible. I just want to encourage you and some of you with your soulmates that I'm thankful. And I know God is grateful for your faithfulness to Him. You hear me? We're not doing this for our pleasure. We're not doing this for our health. Adonai is to be lifted up. The Lord is to be lifted up in all things. And I'm more and more just moved and encouraged by ordinary faithfulness. The young man being mentored here around the Torah with the older men. You know, I know when I was in the synagogue and, you know, I was post 13, became a bar mitzvah, I just remember trying to go up and pray with some of the men. I couldn't make out anything. I couldn't keep up with them. And here's patient men surrounding other men, women teaching women. You're faithful. Each of us have seen unfaithfulness through the years in ministries, and people turn their back on the Lord. It happens regularly. It happens in the Messianic Jewish community. So I'm encouraged by ordinary faithfulness. Jews and Gentiles together serving the one God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Yeshua, Jesus. And we have a calling together. And so I just want to speak a word of gratefulness for your faithfulness. I am thinking of not just Abba, Eliezer Urbach, but his son Chaim, who was such a beloved friend. And you know, he is already, they have already, and so many have gone before us, made it across the finish line, and they heard that well done, good, faithful Shamash servant. And I'm looking forward to that. I almost crossed that line almost 9 years ago, and you all were praying for me. I heard. I got a neuromuscular disease, and it took me down. A bad flu shot. It went wild in my body, and I was deathly sick. They didn't think I'd live. And then, Ron, you remember, once I lived, and you sent your beloved, my sister-in-law, Ellen, his wife out. They encouraged me. They thought maybe I wouldn't walk again ever. And so with God's help, you know, we're here today. Somebody once come up and said, Rabbi, I don't know. I'm kind of skeptical about all this stuff about God and religion and the Bible. And he said, I think it's just kind of like a book of fairy tales. And it's just you want there to be a God. Like you create the God in your own mind. And so it's a crutch. God is a crutch to you, Randy. And I remember this is years ago when I first came to the Lord in a strong way, almost 50 years ago almost. I said, listen to me, my friend. God is not a crutch to me. God is like, back then we called it iron lung. God is like a respirator to me. And if I don't have God, I'm not alive. I don't have air in my lungs. I don't have hope. I don't have faith. I don't have future. I can't connect with my family. I can't be at shalom with my God and with myself, and certainly not with others. So I want us to be directed this morning thinking about this variegated body of Jew and Gentile together, seekers after God. You're here because you're seeking after God. You're looking forward to worshiping the one true God. And I want us to be directed back toward that new covenant reading, the Brit Hadashah, in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11. Could we read that again? I don't know if they could. Yeah, there's a sharp back there. You can see it behind me maybe. So I'm going to read it again. The word of the Lord. And this is in the Tree of Life version, so especially Messianic Jewish scholars got around this, and some of the terminology is different if you're visiting this morning. or out there in virtual land. Hallelujah. Here we go. I have therefore, keep in mind that once you, Gentiles in the flesh, were called circumcision by, uncircumcision rather, by those called what? Circumcision, quote unquote, which is performed on flesh by hand. And in a sense, he's saying, remember. Remember is kind of a thought in between there. Some translations might have it even. But in verse 12, it says, at that time, you were separate from Messiah, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope, without God in the world. And those two beautiful words, but now. Can you underline those in your mind? But now. And you find them often in Scripture. But now. But now in Messiah Yeshua, having, he says, you who were once far off have been brought near. By what? By the blood. By the blood of the Messiah. We would say during Passover, spotless Lamb of God's blood, right? Verse 14, for he is our shalom, that is, he is our peace, the one who made the two into one and broke down the middle wall of separation. With his flesh he made powerless the hostility, and then it's in this translation, the law code of mitzvot, or commandments, or ordinances, you could say, contained in regulations. He did this, why? To create within himself one new man. Say one new man. One new man. One new mankind, of course. From the two groups, making shalom. And to reconcile both, that is, Jew and Gentile is the context, both to God in one body through what? Through the tree, the cross. The cross by which he, capital H, put the hostility to death. Two more verses. And he, that is Yeshua, came and proclaimed shalom to you who were far off, saying the Gentiles weren't close in to God, who were far off, and then you who, those who were near, that is the Jew. And then we end verse 18, for through him we both have access to the Father by the same Ruach, the same Spirit. Let's pray. Avinu Shabbat Shemayim, Father in Heaven, may the short reading this Shabbat in New Covenant reading of Ephesians sparkle us with your glory this morning. May it dazzle us with your redeeming grace. May you be glorified in this little message now. May the listeners be equipped. May these servants of yours be built up. May we leave this morning more ready to proclaim your unsearchable riches and be helped and encouraged for the good of this congregation and its guests and their families and their communities for the glory of your great name. And if you agree with that, would you say amen? B'Shem Yeshua. Little background, as a young post-war Jewish baby boomer, I was the runt of the litter, by the way. This is my older brother, Ron, here. And I had two older brothers beyond that. One still is alive, living in his 90s in L.A. And I love my brother, Al. I pray for him regularly. He's a pre-believer. So glad my brother Ron came to the Lord so many years ago. Some of his congregation's friends and Bible study friends and old friends are here with him. But we grew up in west side of Denver off West Colfax. You all know that around the area. It really is the old Jewish community. You wouldn't know if you just walked around. You have to kind of scout it out. And there are some enclaves that have never changed. But most of us made exodus and moved east, all right, and southeast. Right. But anyway, across the alley from our home was a little place, one of those ethnic synagogues. Think of Lithuanian rabbi Bricks. was there when I officiated, when I became a bar mitzvah. Before I was born, that synagogue, I believe, at least I knew my grandfather, Aaron Shapiro, a watchmaker. Ron, you'll correct me later if I don't remember this right. Opened up the synagogue for, for services, and turned on, lights before Shabbos or whatever, so that there'd be lighter heat. And, Shamash, he, later in his life, he kind of bent, as we're bending back toward the earth, sometimes we get older. It seems like we're facing the reality, and we're knowing we're going to go back to the earth. I have this little suspicion. I believe we think in our, somehow finite, in very finite minds, we're actually getting ready to go the way of all flesh. And many times people actually move closer to God at that time. I think that was the case with my grandfather. I wish there had been Messianic synagogues like Roe Israel at that time. I wish there had been Eliezer Urbach's and Bert Yellen's, passing out literature and witnessing, and Chaim Urbach's teaching and preaching and so forth. But in the community I grew up in, we're like children of pre-war immigrants, ultimately, with our grandparents, who had experienced tough times, severe anti-Semitism, coupled with economic hardship. Hello? Some of you old enough to remember, or you're students of history. Some of the hardship, Great Depression. No surprise, many of our Jewish community, during these difficult years, between themselves, even though they were so variegated in their backgrounds and beliefs and specific ethnicities, especially from Eastern Europe, they began to coalesce together. It kind of reminds me early on when I was witnessing to an Orthodox Jewish boy in San Antonio. He went to one of the, the largest kind of Orthodox slash conservative synagogue. And I remember saying, well, how do you like it over there? He said, oh, I don't know. Nobody likes Rabbi so-and-so, And he said, they have a terrible kiddush. They have an oneg, nothing good. And, the teachings are too long and all of this and that and the other. But all our family will never leave there because that's our synagogue. And so I'm thinking of the fact that, so we were like together as a people. Have you noticed when you go to different cities, San Antonio, as I was by Leedsdale Drive the other day here, Jewish Community Center. How many Jewish community centers are there arguing and fighting against one another? And no, we want to build our Jewish community center. Well, the answer to that. So we bind together different ethnos, different synagogue liturgy, different distances. Some people move to the east side, but their synagogue's way on the west side. So what are they going to do? If they weren't super Orthodox with their roof, they would park by Sloan's Lake several blocks away, and then they would act like they're walking to shul that morning. Hello. And, us younger, hooligans were just roll our eyes, oh, those mockers, they're pretending to be something they're not. But the community was uniting. Divisions were put aside. It's sort of the same thing when I went higher grades. I started elementary school, mostly Jewish people. One day, a Roman Catholic boy came up, and he he knew I'm Jewish, and he's sticking this New Testament with pictures of Jesus on the cross and a little New Testament and some rosary beads or something. And he's saying, this is what you should be doing. You need to, you need to do this. This is what we do. And I said, no, that's for you. Jews don't do that. If the rabbis agree on anything, it's they don't do all that stuff concerning worship of Jesus, or certainly Jesus' mother, Miriam. I found out what's her name. Well, anyway, there's Orthodox, Conservative, Reform. They kind of gave expression to intercommunal issues. Even though there were conflicts over ritual and beliefs, attitudes, and tradition, in a big city like Denver with a lot of Jewish immigrants and families, There were a lot of West Side stories over there I could tell you about. We were trying to live in peace in a diverse world. Kind of reminds me of Tevye, the milk chick, the milkman. In The Fiddler on the Roof, he says, you know, that everyone knew who he was and what God expected of him or something like that. And so that's what we knew. We're nice Jewish boys. Jewish boys don't get together with Catholic boys or girls or whatever. Matter of fact, one of the things I learned early on, this was riveted in my mind. Sonny boy, there are two types of people in this world. There's us and there's them. Got it? Two groups, us and them. And the them you got to be careful of. The them will try to convert you to a new religion. They'll try to take you away from the God of your fathers. They'll try to introduce you to foreign women. And be careful. Students integrating in big public schools suddenly is not just the Jews. It's the Jews and the Italians. And my brother Al was reminding me when I visited him less than 6 weeks ago, I think, that there was gangs, there was Jewish gang, young people gang that had to fight like against Italian gangs in North Denver. Can you believe that? So all that went on. It's not just in New York City. So I'm saying all of this to say this. I learned that I needed to be careful of them, which basically meant Gentiles, and that I needed to stay with my own people. Well, what didn't take long post elementary school that I ended up at a precursor to what joined in with National Jewish Hospital. It was called CARI at the time, Children's Asthma Research Institute and Hospital. And by the way, it was a Jewish sheltering home before that. 19th and Julian. Does that ring a bell, Ron? Lake Junior High School across the street. Yeah, hello, hello. And I was a resident patient almost 2 years with intractable asthma, lung disease, sick boy. No wonder my Hebrew name, I believe, would have been Rachmiel, mercy of God. You know, I couldn't walk to the bigger Hebrew Educational Alliance where my brothers went. I had to go across the alley to our, you know, smaller, more strict synagogue. But I remember in those days, even just to expand this thinking us and them, I was flabbergasted because I just was not so worldly wise. But in my dormitory was people from all over the country and some other countries, including Israel. And there was one boy from the Deep South, and there was one actually a big boy from the South also. One was white, one was black. And when they first went on their first outing together, we would go bowling at Celebrity Bowling Lanes or whatever. The bus would take us on Colorado Boulevard. And this boy, the white boy, skinny white boy, wouldn't sit next to the heavyset black boy. And it got worse. Not only would he not sit with them, but we're in the same dormitory, living in the same compound, you know, kind of a quad setup. And they not only wouldn't talk to one another, they started picking fights with one another. And then this is like Lord of the Flies, Brother Bird. It was bad. So the young boys, prepubescent boys, would try to tell whoever they're for to get in it. And, you know, when the house parent was gone, they would get into savage fights and stuff. And so I was suddenly opening my mind to something I didn't know about, really severe racial prejudice and so forth. I'd never really seen something like that. So I'm telling you all this to tell you this. This us-them thing is not a good thing. It's endemic. It's with us always. And to get to the root of it, we're called to be a pocket of peace and peacemakers in a broken world. That's where I'm going based on the reading. And you know what the only answer to this is I found? It's after I came to Yeshua, because he is our peace, the scripture just mentioned. And he became peace for us. And he himself, I can't get my head around it, but when we go talk about him, he goes and preaches peace. That's what it says in verse 17. So in this second chapter of Ephesians today, readers are reminded of their relationship to God before and after they come to faith. You can see all that in chapter 2 in the first 10 verses we didn't read. But sin had caused a great gulf, just summarizing, between God and the human race. There was that enmity. You know, it goes this way. And this way, our tensions and our problem. And by the way, what did Yeshua, Jesus, say the greatest commandment is? This way and this way. There's one this way, Deuteronomy 6, right? We said it this morning, Shema. And the important part of that's the Ve'ahavta, by the way, not just the creed. Then you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul. And Yeshua said mind and strength. But there's Leviticus 18, which says, and you shall love your neighbor as what? Yourself. And so this vertical and this horizontal is what's important. God, rich in mercy, provides reconciliation for the human race, making it possible for believers from different ethnos, from Israel and from the nations. That's all goyim means, by the way. It isn't derogatory in Scripture. So Paul discusses a need for reconciliation, not only between God and humans, but between God people, the Jewish people, as a prototype, and the rest of the nations, the Gentiles. A new union of Jewish and Gentile one day believers that are going to be considered a whole new mankind, a whole new race, if you like, a spiritual one. That's at the base of it. So man to God vertically and man to man horizontally, Jewish and Gentile believers, one to another, in what? This big R word, reconciliation. It's a big deal. I'll never forget, brother, rabbi, friend, at UMJC conference, I heard Dr. Daniel Juster explaining that he's been sharing with other Gentile leaders in churches, in Anglican, Roman Catholic, wherever he could get a hearing, that when we came together with these things like called Promise Keepers, y'all remember Promise Keepers, some of you guys, we'd be at the big Folsom Stadium and there'd be thousands of people and singing, believers of all kinds gathering together, that they were trying to address a need for reconciliation within the body of Messiah, the body of Christ. And they took perhaps a Native American and then, American, or they took white Anglo-Saxon Protestant and other people of color, and they were trying to make this reconciliation. But it became very obvious that the deepest and the oldest wound in the church, guess what that was between? Jew and what? Gentile. And that's where the big R, reconciliation, this one new humanity needs to go. So before both were brought near to the blood of Messiah, there was great hostility between the groups. God's one new humanity, the church, also called with capital C, body of Christ, the body of Messiah. It says that they, in verse 14, made the both one, or one new man, one new person, 2:15, one body, 2:16. Both have access in one spirit, Ruach, 2:18. And then it goes on beyond where we read fellow citizens, God's household, 2:19. The whole building built together, 2:21. One day it's picturing like the building of a holy temple before God where Jew and Gentile dwell together. This is exciting stuff. Now, I know that you're actually excited about the earlier part of Ephesians if you're a student of that book. And it talks about it's nothing we can do. It isn't through mitzvot, good following commandments, doing good deeds. It isn't our lives are so together that we can earn righteousness with God. It says it's faith. It's faith through God's grace. That's it. And all that's superlative. But then we move into this part where not only is God showing us that it's no longer all these rules and regulations and don'ts and do's. It's this one new people being built together. He's talking about the community of faith being built up. This is so critical. We need to remind ourselves, Ephesians is rich in explaining the spiritual blessings I just got to go to a Bible study with my brother and these brothers here the other night, and the scripture verse that was on my mind was, you know, people sometimes they look at me and I'm hobbling and I'm bent over and I'm struggling to get up on, you know, curb or whatever, and they say, how you doing, brother? And I used to say, well, yeah, according to the circumstances. You know, I stopped doing that years ago. I was always under the circumstances. Now I say, I am blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus and Messiah Yeshua. I'm blessed. You can't be not blessed if you read the scripture and know who you are in Messiah. So sure, you got the lumbago. Sure, you got gout. Sure, you got the heart, you know, the palpitations that are out and things that need correcting, and the reflux, GERD, and all these things. I've got eczema, so I'm up night scratching. You got all this stuff, but no. Beyond all that, God is taking care of me, because according to chapter 1, verse 3, look it up sometime, Paul says we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Messiah Yeshua, Adonainu, our Lord. That's blessed. You are blessed, Roe Israel. So I'm reminded of three things, and then I'll be done this morning. But before I share it, this divisiveness that is endemic among people in the body of Messiah. Yes, churches fight. I've had pastors call me crying. They're arguing about coloring in the new building, coloring of the carpet or whatever, and arguing over, you know, it's like,
now you get first.
Brother, when we rented a little fellowship hall that was tiny, it was so tiny, we could barely be in there, no room for dancing. And then when we had our own egg, the kitchen's like right behind us with dining room table. So we just turned around and we started eating. You know? It was so tiny. And you know, there was somebody on that board of directors that was helping rent this little fellowship hall. And we were grateful. We stuck it out a year till God gave a more wide spot in the road. But I remember one day, this one board member complained to the board of directors of the congregation. They said, you know, there's Jews over there. They're getting to be more people than our congregation on Friday night. And I'm worried they're going to wear out our carpet. It's just like, hi. Oh, Lord, grant us union and reconciliation where there's no longer Greek and Jew and circumcision and uncircumcision and barbarian and Scythian and bondman and freeman, but Messiah, that is Christ, is all and is in all. That's Colossians 3:11. That's what I long for. So with all these social divisions, all these ancient barriers, Jews and Gentiles, these two groups trying to come together, Gentiles were far off, Jews were brought near. Look at verse 12 again. Let's just reflect on a few things. Remember is a big word in verse 12. Remember, at this time you were separate. And so the Gentiles were separated. They weren't worshiping with the Jews. You know, our people couldn't even sit down with Gentiles and eat a meal together. And it's craziness. You know, I've seen such nonsense in the Messianic community where somebody's doing this super kosher root thing, super Jewish Jew thing. They're not even Jew. Eliezer would say, and they're not even Jewish. You know, they're not even Jewish. Yeah. And then they're contentious. And they say, oh, I can't eat there. I can't eat there. I can't. I'll have to bring my lunch and we eat in the park because it's kosher. You know, everything's perfectly kosher. And I'm saying to you this morning that it was so unfair. We started it. I think we, you know, I can read things in ancient literature where we thought non-Jews were like heathen, like they were detested. Yes, they used the word dogs even. It's in ancient literature. It's a tragedy. Israel forgot her vocation. She twisted her privilege into favoritism and ended by heartily despising non-Jewish people. But the ones who were called uncircumcision, you know, also were not very friendly with us. Historically, you can read the Sod Saga, and it gets ugly and it gets deadly, actually. But this idea of, I think I read that a woman in childbirth, a Gentile woman, a Jewish person couldn't touch the Gentile woman to help you know, bring the child to birth because they couldn't even touch a Gentile. So this barrier was absolute. If a Jew married a Gentile, you had a funeral carried out, right? Equivalent of death. And so here's what I want to remind you. It says in Ephesians 4 a little bit later, I think it's about verse 11 and following, let us remember our former course of life. So nothing is profitable for believers, more profitable to sit down and reflect on what was our former way of life. So I told you I wasn't able to get together with non-Jewish people, at least to hear their story, to hear about their faith. You know, I would like separate it from them organically. And probably before our generation, it was much worse. But let us remember our former course of life. Why don't you think back to your former course of life, maybe before you met Yeshua? What were your attitudes toward other people that were different than you? God is rich in mercy. Had he cut us off? What if we were Gentiles, say that we're Jewish, and we didn't have the oracles of God and the promises of God and the covenants of God and the word of God, and we were like left without it? But the Jewish evangelists and apostles and prophets and Shamashim came and, you know, made witness to us after Acts chapter 2. Aren't you glad for Shavuot? So barriers were up, and Messiah tore the barriers down. So verse 13 directs us to how has all this changed? What about this endemic relationship of tension? It's in families. I know families who members don't speak to each other for decades. I read a story, Robert Louis Stevenson, he got out of Scotland, where there were two Scottish sisters close to age one another, and they were deeply involved in the theology of their church, and they disagreed with one another, and they began fighting about it, and they lived, the two spinster sisters, living in like one big living room, and they drew a line of chalk between the living room, just even going over some of the furniture, I think, and it's like, you stay on this side, I'm going to be on this side, and they never talked, they ate separately, and they had this heart of hardness toward one another. And they didn't understand what it says in verse 13. But now, in Messiah Yeshua, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Messiah. And it's like in that ancient Herod's temple, there was a place, if you crossed where the court of the Gentiles was, if you're not Jewish and you went too far in, it could be a sentence of death. They found placards, right? You know about it, that have been found in museums now. No foreigner may enter within the balustrade around the sanctuary and enclosure. Whoever is caught on himself shall be put blame for the death which will ensue. Serious stuff. But here's the deal. Three things, and we'll pray. It's all about atonement, isn't it? Atonement is what brought us together. Yeshua and what he did on the tree when he gave his life for us, suspended between heaven and earth, that's what brought us together. That's why we can be one. That's why I can marry a wild olive branch like my lovely Lainey. I like him a little wild. No, I'm kidding. Oh, that's an Arnie Fruchter mom joke. But because of atonement, she loves the God of Israel. She used to, Sarah Erbach would go look at her, meet her, and say, "So, you're not Jewish?" And my wife would say, "Well, I have a Jewish heart, Sarah. I love the Jewish people." That'll do. Messiah, atonement. Yes, the old way, just ceremonial law as a way of righteousness, and that, you know, every jot and tittle and every perfect piece of halakha. We read Parshat Vayikra today, Leviticus 1-4. All that stuff that our cantor David shared with us today leads us to know how much we need atonement. For he is our peace, verse 14, one who made the two into one and broke down the machitza. He broke down this wall of partition. And so the Gentiles can enter and the Jew can enter, and we could be worshiping God together. We could be underneath symbolically the tree where the blood flows, and whether it drips on Jewish or Gentile people spiritually, He did this in order to do what? It said in verse 15, to create within himself one new man, one new mankind from the two groups, making peace. Another thing is he established something brand new in that new, brand new, one new man. I heard a story by Bishop John Reed in Australia, where he was ministering to the Aborigines. And anyway, a lot of white people from his church got on a bus together with Aborigines that were black. And they, anyway, were going to some wonderful, blessed event. And they all started fighting, and they separated on different sides of the bus. And he couldn't take it any longer. He stopped the bus, the bishop. He said, everybody off, get off the bus. And then people would walk out, you know, different, you know, Aborigine or white, and he'd say, what color are you? And they say, I'm white. He said, no, you're not. You're green. You're green. Green. Yeah, you're green. And then the black Aborigine would come, what color are you? I'm black. No, you're not. You're green. He said, we're going to create a new group, and we're all green. And until we all agree that we're all green and get on that bus, we're not going anywhere. And so they, you know, shuffled on the bus, and they grinned and bared it, and they started getting along, and things started sounding friendlier. And then suddenly somebody from the back of the bus yelled, on this side, dark green, on this side, light green. It never ends. We need God to make a new race. And the bishop couldn't do it by saying people are green. But listen, in Christ there is no east or west. You know the song, in him no south or north, but one great fellowship of love throughout the whole wide earth. That's what we need, this one people of God that God created. And ultimately, back to this idea of reconcilement is what made this all happen. He reconciled something, the two groups that were opposed to one another, and now they're together. And guess what reigns? Shalom. Shalom, shalom. One of the gifts mentioned, in a sense, in the throne names of God section of the Messianic prophecy, Isaiah 9:6, he's going to be Sar HaShalom. He is going to be not only Aviad, not only Everlasting Father, the Messiah that's coming is not going to be Mighty God, El Gabor, but he's also going to be Prince of Peace. And you know that at the first advent of Yeshua, glory to God in the highest, the shepherds heard. And on earth, peace among men of goodwill, peace among men in whom God is well pleased. So peace, it came at the beginning of Yeshua. And then after his resurrection, he's there with his Talmudim, his disciples. And he suddenly appears in a room supernaturally and in a glorified body. And he says, what did he say? Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you. And I believe the real question is today, as we end, is that he preached peace far and wide. He preached to those who were far off and brought them in, that is the Gentiles. He preached peace to us who had the oracles of God but chose to not believe them often or practice them or not share them. But has he preached peace to you is the question. Has he preached the idea that you can be at peace this way with God and you can be at peace this way? And I want to remind you, and it's a theological thing, but it's not very complicated, is that, you know, part of it is humility. Part of why in the Lord's Prayer we say, forgive those who trespass against us, is because we want our trespasses to be covered. Amen? And so we're no longer strangers and foreigners if you're not of the household of Israel. And please, 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 don't ever, try to be, if God made you Jewish, it's wonderful. If he made you Gentile, if you have Jewish blood, it's great. But the more Jewishness doesn't bring you more peace in your life and being closer to God. More Yeshua will. That's what I learned from Eliezer Burt. He said, hang on to the seat of Yeshua. Don't listen to all this. It's all phony baloney, the other stuff. All right. So let's pray together. Thank you for the Gentile congregations and our viewing audience and our audience here, but also the Jewish brothers, and there's a number of them here today. You're built on a solid foundation, you non-Jews, of Jewish apostles, Lord's representatives, Jewish prophets who preceded the Messiah and pointed to the Messiah. And Messiah became the chief cornerstone, the strongest, most important part of our foundation that adds strength and stability and endurability to our lives, to our homes, to our synagogue. So let's pray, asking the resurrected Yeshua to help this one new humanity be at one with one another and do great things for God as a united humanity. Hallelujah. Father, you're amazing. Thank you for showing us a way to end divisiveness and discord and judgment, prejudgment, prejudice, and racial and other types of discrimination. It happens on so many levels. And you've united Jew and Gentile in the kingdom of God. Praise your name for doing what we couldn't. You reconciled us to yourself. You ended humanity's division in Messiah. So forgive us our ignorance and forgive us if some of us have become anti-Semitic or have families that are anti-Semitic. Lord, forgive them. Help them to see the truth that we need to join hands, all of us, and flee the wrath to come. Unite our hearts to fear thy name, as King David HaMelech said. Unite us closer to yourself. Unite us closer to your Son. Unite us closer to Ruach HaKodesh, Holy Spirit. Unite us closer to one another. And thank you, God, that you're calling all people in this congregation and others to move from alienated bloodlines of race and ethnicity to this one bloodline of Yeshua HaMashiach. Hallelujah. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And now, O Lord, our God, bless all of those who have worshiped this day in this place from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. And Lord, in your grace, continue to love us. In your goodness, continue to inspire us. In your and through your Spirit, guide us. And by your power, strengthen us. And in your rachamim, in your great mercy, one day, receive us and our people, Jew and Gentile alike, from this time forth and forevermore. Le'olam va'et, forever and ever. Amen and amen. Thank you for your diligent attention.